you have bad dreams? I think not. No. Nebuchadnezzar, that man had bad dreams. First one, Daniel chapter 2, he actually sees the dissolving of man's earthly kingdoms. Of course, it starts by setting him up. You, O king, are the head of gold. That's a nice consolation until you realize that you're also dreaming about your successor. Oh, boy. I believe I would begin to be careful what I ate at night. Then Nebuchadnezzar, that's in chapter 2. Then Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4 has a dream concerning his humiliation, his degradation. And we're looking at that now. This is important because the same thing is going to apply to the final world ruler, the Antichrist, and the kingdom of the end, which will also be headquartered in Babylon. I don't care what you say. It's going to be Babylon. And then in chapter 7, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream about those four beasts coming out of the sea, and they represent four religions. This is the breakthrough, really, with the correct translation, talking about the King James says the first animal was a leopardess, the next animal was a lioness, she-bear, monstrous, and so forth. The Concordant version, remember I told you that the good translation, a proper translation, a translation executed with a scientific method will open up venues of truth, including the salvation of all with the word ion, the words falsely translated hell. But here, it's not the first beast, it's the eastern beast. And when that truth opens up, then you suddenly see that these are not political entities, but they're religious entities. We're going to get to that later on, if not in Secrets of Daniel, then when I get back to Pennsylvania and start the Revelation series, we're going to be talking about the Islamic movement, radical Islam, the design of the radical portion of that religion to take over the world, destroy its enemies. This is prophesied. Love to get into that now, but not going to do it. So, poor Nebuchadnezzar, talk about bad dreams. Now, chapter 4, verse 1. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace. Oh, right there. Remember I told you yesterday, I was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace. What did Jesus say? In the days when they are saying peace, peace, then destruction will come upon them. Reminds me of a Hogan's Heroes episode. They try to convince Klink that he had something called walking pneumonia. And Colonel Klink says, but I feel fine. Hogan says, oh my God, that's the first sign. It's the first sign of walking pneumonia is you feel fine. I'm sorry to hear that. You feel good? That's too bad. Same with this. I was at ease in my house, flourishing in my palace. It's not that I want you to be on your guard when good things start happening. See, I kind of wrecked your life for you. I'm wrecking my own in the process. It doesn't necessarily work out that way. Okay, let's put it this way. For members of the body of Christ, we're golden. Doesn't work like that for us. But with the world, as soon as you hear peace, as soon as you hear them crowing about how great things are going, and they finally brought peace and plenty to the masses, and they're at ease in their house and flourishing in their palace, then destruction is waiting at the door. And this is when Nebuchadnezzar receives a dream. A dream I perceived, and it is terrifying me. Every single dream, he said the same thing, and it's terrifying me. And portents on my bed. He sees portents, things reflecting, looking toward the future while he's on his bed. Kind of like that one movie, The Matrix. Even, although I couldn't watch that movie. Somebody said, you got to watch The Matrix, Martin. It's so about free will and all that. And I don't like movies where people are flying around, things are exploding, death, knives, forget it. I like movies where people are talking over coffee. I like Meg Ryan having fake orgasms. Those are my kind of movies. Even the visions of my head are flustering me. Then from me a decree was promulgated to bring in before me all the wise men of Babylon, that the interpretation of the dream they shall make known to me. See, this guy does not learn. He did this in chapter 2, when he dreamed about the image, the head of gold, chest of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, feet iron and clay. He had this dream. He had this same experience. And what does he do? Listen to what he does. He calls in, one, the sacred scribes. Yeah, I don't care how sacred your scribes are. They're losers. He calls in the Magi. I can understand that. All right, I'll give you the Magi. The Chaldeans. You know, if I'm going to call somebody in to interpret a dream, it sure as heck ain't going to be Chaldeans. I've never seen a Chaldean who would give you a true interpretation of a dream. They're always hedging it because they're afraid of offending you. And you're going to see that happening here. And the Hieromancers. Are you kidding? Please. A Hieromancer? You're really going to bring in someone who takes the entrails of sacrifices for the purpose of divination and analyzes the entrails, takes out the liver and looks at it, and purports to be able to tell your future by looking at a kidney, a liver, a stomach, a large intestine? No, a Hieromancer. Never hire a Hieromancer. And you think I'm being facetious about this, but, you know, these men of the past were given to the black arts. And some of these, this is serious business. I'm making light of it, but no, these people were serious. So it was serious crap going on back then. And Satan used these people. Now, Satan has changed his tactics. You're not going to find Satan today working through a Hieromancer. It's just too obviously goofy and weird and evil. Somebody spreads a liver of a sacrificed animal used for the purpose of divination, and you're analyzing it and you're picking it apart and purporting to tell the future. That's not happening today. Satan is now as a messenger of light, and he's working, as Dr. Bullinger says, in the professor's chairs and in the pulpit. And I'm stating the dream before them, yet its interpretation they did not make known to me. No kidding. Its interpretation they did not make known to me. That's right. Now, he put his Hieromancers and all these Magi, he put them through the ringer, because as we're going to see in his dream, it doesn't bode well for him. Let's just get right to the dream, and then I will give you my interpretation of the dream, because he did not call in Martin Zender. You see what he did do. Further, last of all, Daniel comes in before me. All right, I'm going to read this, then I'm going to comment, because I can't help it. Whose name is Belteshazzar. Now, I don't know if that's a correct pronunciation, but that's what I'm giving it. Nebuchadnezzar named Daniel after his own god, Bel. So Daniel, to Nebuchadnezzar, was as a god. God granted Daniel great favor in the eyes of Nebuchadnezzar. And we find these little sweet spots, these little magic little periods where God's spokesman is as like this wonderful, awesome, awe-inspiring thing to men of power. Moses was this to Pharaoh. Let's go on. After the name of my God. See, he named them after the name of his God. Now, seeing that the spirit of the holy Elohim is in him, I state the dream before him also. And he did this. And here's what he said. Belteshazzar, grandee of the sacred scribes, seeing that I know that the spirit of the holy Elohim is in you, and no secret at all bothers you. I like that. No secret bothers you. You're not even vexed by what to my people, to my Hieromancers, is an inexplicable puzzle. The visions of my dream that I perceived and state its interpretation to me. So here's the lesson I'm getting from here, is that humans must try every avenue before they get to the right one. This is going to help you. I'm telling you, this is a principle in the scriptures and in life, that you will try everything. You'll go down every wrong road, just bump my microphone there, until you find the right road. And this is something that God built into us. It's almost like we can't do anything different. It's like when people get cancer or whatever, they get some terrible disease, they go through the regular accepted mainstream medical routine. And we know in many of these medical routines, the cure's worse than the disease. Then when all else is lost, they'll try some natural cure, or they'll go to Mexico and they'll get some crazy thing that works. But you never try the crazy thing first. You never try the God thing first. You always have to take all those crazy routes before you get to the truth. And here it is once again. Nebuchadnezzar is going to his people who failed him before. A history of failure apparently is no impediment to anybody. Not in this era of human government either, because in this era of human government, we keep trying the same things. Oh, 4 years of Obama didn't work. I have an idea. Let's try 4 more years. And many other examples could be given. I told you this before, but this bears repeating, and it's going to help you when you realize that this is God's method. He's always doing things this way. It'll keep you from getting frustrated, like, why don't I go to God first? Why don't I just always go to God first? I try these other means. A friend of mine, 20 years ago, prayed to God to show him revelation. God, give me the truth. As sincere a prayer as you could ever want. So what did God do? He took him 10 years or so into the Worldwide Church of God, a cult. And after 10 years in that cult, he found the concordant version of the scriptures, found out that with the correct translation, many of the horrifying doctrines in scripture disappear, and he came into the truth. And he said, God, why didn't you send me to the truth right away? Why did I have to try these other means and methods? And then he realized it was the contrast principle. That answers a lot of things, folks, the contrast principle. I want you to try that first whenever you have having trouble. Is this the contrast principle, perhaps? Am I perhaps being once again subjected to the contrast principle? And if you are, it's not subjection. God's doing you a favor. And he's giving you the key, the answer to it now. I'm giving you the answer to it. This is your first default explanation. Is it the contrast principle? Is the fact that I'm weak now, tired now, sick now, discouraged now, is it the contrast principle? Is it the fact that I had to go through the Worldwide Church of God before I came to the truth? Is it the contrast principle? Lord, why did I go so many years in the Catholic religion before I realized the truth? Is it the contrast principle? God, why can't I control my eating habits? Why can't I control my drinking? I wonder if it's the contrast principle. I wonder if the fact that human government, one after the other, is failing, I wonder if that's the contrast principle. It is. Tomorrow, we're going to delve into more into Nebuchadnezzar's dream. We're going to try to encourage the man to eat better before bed. And we're going to go into the very throne room to hear the words of Daniel.